Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Paul's missionary journeys carried him through Asia Minor and into Europe. His first preaching in Europe was at Philippi, Acts 16. He then traveled to Thessalonica and on to Berea, both cities of the province of Macedonia, Acts 17, 1-15. Acts 17 records his preaching to a group of Greek philosophers at Athens. While Paul was waiting in Athens for Silas and Timothy to join him in the work of preaching the gospel, Paul looked around in the city of Athens and saw that the city was wholly given to idolatry. He went into the Jewish synagogue in Athens and disputed with the Jews and with devout persons in the marketplace daily. Acts 17, 16 and 17. Athens, Greece, at the time Paul entered the city, was considered to be a very intellectual city. Paul's visit to Athens brought him into contact with certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics. Some of the people asked, "What will this babbler say?" Others said, "He seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he had preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Acts 17, 18. The philosophers Paul encountered at Athens were not of the stature of Plato or of Aristotle, but there were still a number of intellectuals in the city. The Epicurean philosophers were followers of Epicurus, who lived between 341 and 260 B.C. Epicureanism emphasized living for the present, since there is no life to come. According to this philosophy, we should do whatever brings the greatest happiness in the here and now. We normally associate the expression, "eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die," with the Epicureans. But they apparently did not believe that fulfilling the fleshly appetites was the highest good. They were devoted to intellectual pursuits, although I suspect some of the lesser lights took advantage of the philosophical mood of the times and lived for their sexual appetites. The Stoics followed a philosopher by the name of Zeno, who lived between 335 and 263 B.C. The Stoics rejected the realm of the supernatural. They accepted the view that what is to be will be. Their divinity or God was not a personal God, but an impersonal power. They were taught to accept whatever comes with equal readiness. When tragedy comes into the life of a friend or a loved one, the Stoic was permitted to groan, but he could not groan inwardly. Even death was to be accepted without protest. Seneca, the famous Roman orator and a Stoic, asked, "What is the duty of a good man?" He answers, "To resign himself to his destiny. It is a great consolation to share the fate of the universe. Whatever it be that decrees how we are to live, how we are to die, it binds even the gods by the same inexorable law. An irresistible current bears along terrestrial and celestial beings." You should have no difficulty, my friends, understanding how contrary this philosophy is to the teachings of Jesus Christ and of the apostles. In answer to these philosophers at Athens, Paul presented a true and living God. "God who made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing that he gives to all life and breath and all things. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Acts 17, 24 and 25 and 28. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless you.